Hari
Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunatu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastoma Vidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 55. When there was a complete inundation during the period of the Chakshusha Manu, and the whole world was deep within water, the Lord accepted the form of a fish and protected Vaivasvata Manu, keeping him on a boat. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.15, footnote 18. The commentary on this verse mentions that after every Manu there is a devastation. Machi appears after every devastation. Okay, so that answers the question. If it's every time. So. Like that. From what I remember, I think Rupa Goswami was saying is at the end of the Kalpa, then there's a devastation, and at the end of the Vikalpas, then there's devastation. But at the end of the Yuga cycle, there may or may not be. That's not something that always happens. Sridhar Swami, however, says the Lord showed a devastation to Satyavrata to give instructions of knowledge in the manner that a devastation was shown to Markandeya through illusion to give the detachment. Since the devastation cannot be a Mahakalpa devastation because the earth does not remain at that time, and it cannot be a daily devastation because the devastation appeared suddenly without the Samvartika rain. Much is said it would happen in 7 days' time. Right. So then this was something special. This one was out of the ordinary. To give instructions of knowledge. Okay. This was all, who was that? This one, huh? Vishnu, okay. Okay, the Supreme Personality of Godhead continued. You will be thoroughly advised and favored by me, and because of your inquiries, everything about my glories, which are known as Param Brahma, will be manifest within your heart. Thus you will know everything about me, Srila Prabhupada comments. In responsive cooperation, the Lord reveals himself in proportion to one's surrender. That which is revealed to one who fully surrenders is different from what is revealed to one who surrenders partially. Everyone naturally surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either directly or indirectly. The conditioned soul surrenders to the laws of nature and material existence, but when one fully surrenders to the Lord, material nature does not act upon him. So the point is every living entity is dealing with the Supreme Lord and surrender to the Lord. It's just a matter of whether it's him as a person, him as God, him as Brahman, or him simply as the modes of nature. Right? So most living entities, then we see, are just dealing with the laws of nature. That's all they're dealing with. That's their surrender to the Lord. They have to follow those laws. They can't not do that. You know, dogs, don't meow, right? They bark. You know, that's just the way it is. So even if they'd like to meow, they can't. Such a fully surrendered soul is favored by the Supreme Lord directly. One who has fully surrendered to the Lord has no fear of the modes of material nature, for everything is but an expansion of the Lord's glories, sarvam kaldidam brahma, and these glories are gradually revealed and realized. So everything is Krishna. So it's just a matter of seeing it in connection with Krishna to a deeper and deeper realization till you're seeing the person. Right? So the pure devotee isn't afraid of anything because everything's Krishna. And so if Krishna wants a difficulty to be there, it will be there. If he doesn't want it to be there, it won't. So even if it's a situation that shouldn't be difficult, it will be. And if it's a situation that would be difficult, it doesn't have to be. So that's the thing, it's about Krishna. So if we're always absorbed in Krishna and seeing Krishna in everything, everywhere, then one is not disturbed. Right? Because it says the material nature does not act upon him, so he's functioning under yoga maya. The Lord is the supreme purifier. The more one is purified, and the more he wants to know about the Supreme, the more the Lord reveals to him. Full knowledge of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan is revealed to the pure devotees. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:11, out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So then full knowledge, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, their relationship, how it's all based on Krishna, and how everything's functioning. So therefore, everything's expanding from Krishna. And that means everything being Krishna, then that one can always be with Krishna. That's the whole idea. It's just a matter of the realization, where the realization is, how deep it is. So that's what it says is, I say, full knowledge is revealed to the pure devotees. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur comments to the same verse. The Lord said, since you associate with Atmaramas, the desire to experience Brahman arises in your heart. By my mercy, that desire will be fulfilled. That is expressed in this verse. You will realize that power of mine indicated by the word Brahman, which is one of my qualities. The all-pervading form without qualities. This will be revealed to you by my mercy. That what is the need to endeavor for jnana, since it is possible for me to give it? Because that Brahman belongs to me. Satyavatra responds, by what method will you be merciful to me? The Lord replies, by your questions and by my answers to you. It will be disclosed in your heart. Brahman, which cannot be defined even by me, will be understood by your strength. Just as I give perception of material objects to the jivas by creating intelligence and senses, I will give you your ability to perceive Brahman. Right, so it's something that's given by the Lord. We think, no, I'm doing it, but it's actually Krishna gives the intelligence and the senses. Because the senses are controlled by the intelligence. Otherwise, how do you discern? That's the whole point. We say someone's intelligent when they can discern. You know, what's the difference between something or what's the similarities between something. But if you can't discern something, that's not considered intelligent. So that way then the senses won't function. If the senses aren't gaining information, then what's the point? So our knowledge is developing because of the information coming from the senses that then is managed by the intelligence. So that's controlled by the Lord. So in the same way, our understanding of Brahman, or in this case, Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, that's also controlled by the Lord. So he can give the ability by which you can understand. So since he's beyond, it's not by the senses. It's not by the material intelligence. So it's by spiritual intelligence. Then Krishna gives that understanding.
So Matsyapuram is basically a dialogue between Satyavrata and Matsya.
That I'm not sure. But it must have something to do with Matsya in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're saying that's what it is.
Because when he said that I will give you the knowledge by questions and answers.
Okay, so then maybe it's the whole dialogue. I'm not sure. I don't know. Because generally in a Purana, because being a Purana, it has to discuss all the different aspects, but it may have a majority within that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It has to have primary creation, secondary creation, then the Prajapatis, the Manus, and the kings of the Sun and Moon Dynasty. That's Panchalakshana. All Puranas must have that. Otherwise, why are they a Purana? Right? Means you have primary creation, secondary creation.
Prajapatis, Manus,
and the kings of the Sun and Moon Dynasty.
sun and moon obviously.
Yeah, both. Though the emphasis is always on the sun, but you know, they can be come from either. Like in here, we give on Krishna, that's moon dynasty.
Yeah.
But when we're giving all the lines like coming down through Arjuna and all that, Bharat, these are all sun dynasty. So that makes it a Purana. Then you have another five Lakshanas that are given for a Mahapurana. Right? And that I can't tell you all the details. But what's the ultimate goal? Summum Bonum. Then you have the maintenance and nourishment. Those two. That's three. Sorry? All this is discussed in the 12th. Yeah. So there's you're just saying in 12th canto all these points will be discussed whatsoever. So those are more, that makes it a Mahapurana. So that's why it's Bhagavat is a Mahapurana. Like that. So if much is a Purana or Mahapurana, in any case it has to have those five. So that's what I'm saying. The conversation of Matsya and Satyavrata may be a very major aspect within it. Or, through that, all the other points will be discussed. You know, just like Sukadeva Goswami and Purkit Maharaj. All the topics are discussed within their topic, the discussion. And they're discussing what other people have discussed. So the major pastimes are all common in all Puranas. Just different aspects are brought out and everything like that. The only one that's unique is in the Ritra Sura. That's only in Bhagavat Purana. It's not in any of the other 18. So by saying the Purana with the story of Ritra Sura, that means only Bhagavatam. But otherwise, the churning of the milk ocean, this, that, they all have those.
Ritra Sura, they don't understand?
I'm not sure. It's just discussed in Bhagavatam. Because, I mean, you are, it is, actually, yes.
It's very controversial.
Yes. Okay. It's already, I guess, pushing it with Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. And then here, you know, straight up fighting with it, you know, the whole thing. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on verse 38 and preaches Sandarbha Anucheda 7. Here's the Jiva. Here's the next. Because I think what we did is I'd gone from there and then I thought we were at the bottom of this and I started reading and then we figured out we were at the top.
Okay.
Yeah. Many words may be used to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For example, he may be called Ichamaya, he whose every desire is at once fulfilled. The words Bhagavan and Brahman both describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That these two words are both names of the Lord is seen in the above words spoken by Lord Matsya to Satyavrata, words that again show devotional service's power to reveal the Lord. Right? So when we say Brahman, we mean Krishna, because he's the Supreme Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? Brahma Jyoti is an aspect of the Supreme Brahman. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 38 in Bhakti Sandarbha. This was in?
Priti.
Okay, so that's at the end. And this is in Bhakti, the one before. Brahma Gyan comes by the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, it is beyond the modes of material nature. In these words, Lord Matsyadeva explains that knowledge of Brahman, para Brahma, is attained by the mercy of the Lord. Quote, how can knowledge of Brahman describe various qualities since Brahman has no qualities? There are two kinds of Brahman knowledge. One, the knowledge attained by the Lord's devotees comes by the Lord's mercy. Two, the knowledge attained by the worshippers of impersonal Brahman comes independently without the Lord's direct mercy. Therefore, the spiritual knowledge attained by the devotees in their practice of devotional service, which is manifested by the Lord's transcendental potency, is filled with spiritual variety. Feelings of oneness with difference. Devotees get this by the mercy of the Lord. The worshippers of Brahman attain a liberation that is without any variety. So that's the thing, is the oneness and difference gives all means everything's Brahman, but it has all variety. So that's only by the Lord's mercy that one can understand that. Because just everything's Brahman, it's all one, there's no variety, that's actually not a very developed understanding. in the way of, it's easy, anybody could understand that, right? But to understand that the unlimited, comes in a form, or that he's equal, but he favors his devotees, or these kind of things, that takes more intelligence. So that's revealed only by devotional service.
Mercy that they're talking about here, one is specific, one is general. Can we say that?
One is impersonal and one is personal.
So that's what I mean. Personal
but
is specific.
Means even about Brahman, okay, yes, if you're taking it that way, that's the definition, then yes. Because you're seeing everything connected to Krishna. It's simultaneously him but not him. Mm-hmm. So it has all the variety, but at the same time is all one.
And can we also say that if it's impersonal, that's just our karma, basically?
Basically, you apply your intelligence. It's just like, let's say, somebody works very hard at administration, and they follow the rules, they apply themselves, then with time, gradually, by the law of karma, then they will get that result. Mm-hmm. So if they apply their intelligence for a long time, then they will get the understanding of Brahman that the impersonalists have, because technically it's material. Means they're dealing with transcendence, but their view of it's technically material because they don't see it connected with Krishna. So anything that's not connected to Krishna is material. So even their understanding of transcendence is still material. That's why they never get out of the Mahatattva. They may get to Brahman within Mahatattva, but they won't get out of Mahatattva.
It's a lot interesting from this pastime that it's mentioned that Brahmavadis are always there.
Yes.
But Mayavadis is just a new thing.
Yes. Brahmavadis is, and can you see the Brahmavadis don't have a problem in dealing with the person or this, because everything's Brahman. It's just they're only interested in that realization, because it takes them beyond the pain of the material world and brings them to the transcendental platform. So that Ananda they taste there, then, you know, that's what they're interested in. They don't know what's beyond that. So if someone's interested in that, then Krishna will give that. But if they want to know the person, then that's another through that devotion that they can get. You can even get by devotion get this Brahman understanding. But the Mayavadis, yes, that's because like you said, it's Buddhism. It's not actually Vedic like that. They're basing what they're doing on the Vedas, but technically they're not Vedic. In that way, it's not a Vedic philosophy. It's been used by that, but it's not. It's a condemned. It's a Kali Yuga thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a Kali Yuga thing. It's not there in the other ages. Mm-hmm. There'll be impersonalists. There may even be atheists, but it appears that you don't have as such the Mayavadis like this. Because otherwise, why would Lord Shiva have to introduce it?
So you don't have Buddhist either?
In the other ages? It seems that it only comes out at this time. The Adi Buddha is always there, but it's just only in Kali Yuga then he comes and performs his pastimes.
And Jain also?
The Jinna is always there, and then the Adi Jinna is there. But then, at some point, then it becomes part of the symbol.
And contemporary religions?
Depends upon which one.
That's a general question.
It says, you have the religion, then you have the derivatives. You know, like you have commodities, then you have derivatives, right? So
I'm talking about the original religion.
Because the point is that this monotheistic concept is there, but you're giving it to those who can't understand Pancharatra, can't understand the Vedic system. So they have to work. So the one aspect of Dharma and those aspects, they're functioning below that. So you're kind of like trying to hit something between Anamoy and Manamoy. So then you make a nice compromise at Pranamoy. And so there is the theistic aspect. So you're coming up to that. So philosophically, you could say is there's the understanding of theism, but as far as the life and all those things go, it tends to be more based on the pranamoy. That becomes more of an, the laws and everything like that become more of a like that. So it's just a matter of, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, depending upon who's where, at what times, what's the environment, what's everything, the modes, then certain things are revealed and that, like that. So this was necessary, basically, how to get... It means in this age, it means, how you say, for the previous age, then those necessary to function in this age weren't present, and you had to create Kali Yuga compliant individuals who at the same time, you know, had some understanding of, you know, God consciousness. Like that. So you can say, yes, they were chosen for doing that. And then others, derivatives from there, and it just gets...
less chosen.
Yes, more wild after that. Okay. They who understand the real nature of the Absolute do not think very highly of this kind of liberation. They reject it because it's not complete. It's not, the Lord's not included. That understanding how everything's Brahman and being able to deal with everything as Brahman, that the devotee can do. The pure devotee can deal with that because it's Krishna who is that. So all it is this aspect is Krishna, but it's in his impersonal feature because he as a person is not manifest in that. Like the column, the potency of the column to hold up the building is Krishna. So he is the column. But at the same time, he is a person, doesn't have to do that. He does it through his energies. So that means that's the impersonal aspect. But the point is, it's the person who's extending his energies that the impersonal is doing this work. So therefore, for the pure devotees, they'll remember the person. But the impersonalists, they don't. You know, they're not interested in that kind of point. It means they know, okay, the person's there, but they're interested in the Brahman aspect. So for the Mayavadis, it's all illusion, so they're, you know, as the Ishupanishad says, they just go to the lowest regions, like that. But the Brahmavadis, they can get themselves to Mahakalapura. But I doubt there's any Mayavadis there.
Gopkumar didn't meet him.
No, he didn't. Okay. Yeah. Because the ones he did see, they were absorbed in Brahman, but they had a form.
Yeah.
But they couldn't perceive the form, but he could. And so then if they're Maya bodies, then it's all illusions, so there is no form, so then it couldn't have been Maya bodies. You know, it had to have been Brahma bodies.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. If Brahma Gyan, impersonalism, was transcendental, the Kumaras wouldn't have disregarded it. Right? So that means we call them transcendentalists because they're interested in the concept of transcendental. But they're not technically transcendentally situated there because you're still connected with the Mahatattva. Because you haven't given up dying the controller and enjoyer. Because that's the reason for going there. Right? To enjoy Brahmananda. Like that. So therefore it's being disregarded because it's not actually transcendental. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Yes.
So Brahmagyan means this, the knowledge of Brahman.
Yes.
If we don't understand this aspect as Brahman all pervading, wouldn't be considered the first stage of self-realization, means...
We would or we wouldn't?
We would.
We would, yes, yes. Means we can understand that it's there.
So why it's not transcendental?
Because that's all that they're interested in, so how long can they do that?
But that's the criteria?
It's just like this. Okay, I walk in... I have one of those nice aluminum briefcases, you know. It's filled up with notes, and they have appropriate faces on them. No, they would have, let's say they have on it, you know, the guy who was foolish enough to go out and fly a kite and in the storm.
engine.
Yes, like that. You know, that's a good one. You know, unless you can have, you know, 500 euros, but that's also not bad.
But that's impersonal. There's no face.
Yes, so there's no face. So we'll go with that. So that's full of that. And then I give it to you and say, this is yours. Okay? And then after 10 minutes, you know, and then you call your fans, hey, this is like this. And then after 10 minutes, they came back and said, oh, sorry, we have to take it back. So, are you rich? So that's the point. Those who emerge in Brahman, are they liberated? Means from our time span, yes. But from the eternal time span, are they? No, because at some point they will come back here.
So that's why we cannot call it transcendental?
That's why we say it's transcendental, but it's disregarded because it's not actually transcendental. It's transcendental means it's above the material world, because that's the definition that's used. But because it's not into the spiritual world, then at some point they won't be transcendental. So as long as they're in Brahman, they're transcendental. But as soon as they come back to the material world, they're not transcendental anymore. So that's why we say real liberation. That's liberation, but real liberation is when you're established in a relationship with the Lord.
And then the next question would be, then we are supposed to be in relationship with the Lord and liberated as devotees.
Yes.
As long as we remember that, we are. As long as we don't act on that, we are not.
Basically. But we're still not like the non-devotees. Because that, it's just a matter of realization. Means, in other words, you can say technically the soul's always liberated. But when you're not being Krishna conscious, then at that time one is affected by the modes of nature. Like that.
Because when they are in Brahman, they're not affected by the modes of nature either.
No, they're not. But that position of not being affected is temporary. By our time frame, it's a long time. But by Mahakalapura's time, it may not be a long time. That's why Lord Shiva, that's one of his jobs, is sending them back into the material world when it's time. Right? So when they get bored, then they come back. So does that make sense? So it's just like the heavenly planets, you know, this Amara. It's only from our point of view it's Amara. From their point of view, it's like, you know, it's not that Amara. You know what I'm saying? And all the anxiety, whatever we go through, they go through. You know, does that make sense? You know, you're sitting there in the nice house, and then the neighbors, you know, the new neighbors move in, and then you're feeling anxiety. You know, like that. But, you know, for Indra, then Bali Maharaj, and, you know, the new neighbors can move in. So then, so it's the same thing. It's just on a bigger, so everything's bigger. You know, it's like Texas. You know, it's just everything's bigger. Yes.
So can we say that on the aspect of Sat, the Brahmavadis, they have realization, but Chit
yes.
is incomplete and Ananda,
Ananda
they
is,
don't have one.
Yes, it's not really. It means there's the Ananda being neutral, so it's not actually Ananda. Ananda's positive.
Right.
So it's whatever happiness is there from being neutral. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about that. I think, what was that in Mahaprabhu Shiksha? That one time we went through the Dasamul. And so then, in there, he's describing that all the living entities in the spiritual world, they all have the same understanding. The basic fundamental understanding is the same for all living entities. The particular application of that fundaments in the taste of relationship and service to Krishna, that's different. But the philosophical understanding, that's all the same. So then it's understood that the Ananda that's there, that's coming from somewhere else. It's not coming from ourselves. Therefore, then the nature is to surrender to that person from whom that's coming. Is that what I'm saying? So that's there. Here we have, oh, happiness can come from so many things because we've put it that happiness comes from the secondary. And so since there's unlimited secondary, therefore then there's unlimited, you know, options for sense gratification. So the happiness is different. So, but in the spiritual world, then no, it's all coming from Krishna. the flavor with the relationship with Krishna, that will be different. But the that is connected to Krishna. Here is that it's disconnection to Krishna is where one's looking for taste. But as we understand from the definition given here of Brahman, is that, and Paramatma, is that nothing is disconnected from Krishna, so they're all surrendered to Krishna, but they don't know it. So since they don't know it, you know, since they lack that consciousness, they get the benefit of their particular consciousness. And since their consciousness is not God conscious, they don't get the benefit of dealing with Krishna, even though they are. That's the thing. No, okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, after thus instructing the king, the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately disappeared. Then King Satyavrata began to wait for that time of which the Lord had instructed. After spreading kusa grass, with its tips pointing east, the saintly king himself, facing the northeast, sat down on the grass and began to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who had assumed the form of a fish.
We say that usually the Lord, he takes the forms according to the meditation of his devotee. But here, we see the opposite. Because he saw him as a fish, and then he started to meditate.
Yeah, well, that's the Leela avatar, is that we hear about the Leela, then we become attracted.
It would be wild to meditate on the fish in the first place.
Yes. Yes. Especially a fish with a horn. That's you don't hear of often.
There are fishes like that.
With horns.
Not big horn, but there's something, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's where the origin is from. Yeah. Thereafter, gigantic clouds poured incessant water, swelling the ocean more and more. Thus the ocean began to overflow onto the land and inundate the entire world. As Satyavrata remembered the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he saw a boat coming near him. Thus he collected herbs and creepers, and accompanied by saintly Brahmins, he got aboard the boat. The saintly Brahmins, being pleased with the king, said to him, O king, please meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava. He will save us from this impending danger and arrange for our well-being. Then, while the king constantly meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a large golden fish appeared in the ocean of inundation. The fish had one horn and was 8 million miles long. Impressive. 1 million yojis.
I was just thinking that Jayadev Goswami, in his prayers, he always brings a point back to Keshava Drita.
Yes.
So it's Keshava, actually. Whatever forms
yes.
are there,
yes.
but it's a very strong connection.
Yes, that's the thing, is if that's understood, then even these other forms are there, then it reminds you of Keshava.
Yeah.
It reminds you of Krishna. That's the point. What we talked about before, Brahman, it reminds you of Krishna. Paramatma reminds you of Krishna. You know, the creation reminds you of Krishna. So everything reminds you. That's the yeah. So if one can do that, then there's no distraction. So that's the whole thing of, oh no, but we only listen to about Krishna, and yeah. only Krishna, the gopis, is that, that's a very, very immature development of that. Because the point is the gopis, that they think any of the pastimes of the Lord, but they all know it's Krishna who's doing that. So everything reminds them of Krishna. Okay, that's the whole point.
And as in Hansadutam in Lalita, yeah. she mentioned all the Dasha avatars and chastises Krishna, you know, telling the swan how. But still, she can't give up that meditation.
Yes, no, it's always you know, like that. Or like Radharani and the bumblebee.
Yeah.
Bumblebee, but then he's certain of Krishna, so then there's the whole thing. And that same time she's chastising Krishna, she's chastising Uddhava.
Yeah,
right. yeah, so all these things. So that's the whole thing, is that they see all this connected to the Lord. Right? Now, Lalita, just you know, one say, oh, that's Lalita, but what's the position of Lalita? Right or left?
She's right.
She's right.
No, left.
She's left.
She's left of the left.
She's left of the left.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's means Vishakha will be right of left.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Radharani will be middle of left. So that's the perfection there. So that left of left, that means the sense of possession is so strong. So, but the point is that still, it's her Krishna is doing all these things. You know who I'm saying? So it's not that, oh, it's something lighter, and so therefore then they get into this. It's like, no, her concept of that control of Krishna, that she has that total control, will be there, but it's Krishna who's... Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that... No? And also the golden fish, you know, so then that becomes the popular thing to have a golden fish. But the only difference is the golden fish, you put him in the tank, it come the next day, still the same size. Like that. Following the instructions formally given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the king anchored the boat to the fish's horn, using the serpent Vasuki as a rope. Thus being satisfied, he began offering prayers to the Lord.
Vasuki's always the rope.
Yeah, he's always the rope. You know, that's the, I'm not sure if that's the upside or the downside of being the main honcho snake. Prayers by King Satyavrata. The king said, "By the grace of the Lord, those who have lost their self-knowledge since time immemorial, and who because of this ignorance are involved in a material conditional life of full of miseries, attain the chance to meet the Lord's devotees. I accept that Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supreme Spiritual Master. In hopes of becoming happy in this material world, the foolish conditioned soul performs fruitive activities that result only in suffering. But by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from such false desires for happiness. May my Supreme Spiritual Master cut the knot of false desires from the core of my heart." Srila Prabhupada comments, "For material happiness, the conditioned soul involves himself in fruitive activities, which actually put him into material distress. Because the conditioned soul does not know this, he is said to be in avidya, or ignorance. Because of a false hope for happiness, the conditioned soul becomes involved in various plans for material activity. Here Maharaj Satyavrata prays that the Lord sever this hard knot of false happiness and thus become his supreme spiritual master." So in the material world, is all that one actually technically can get is misery. But we define that a certain situation, if obtained, that's happiness. But that same situation for someone else is misery. So it's not that it's actually happiness. We just define it as happiness. So that when that comes, we'll say we're happy for that moment. And then the problem is then we're separated from that moment. Does that make sense? So that's the problem. So he's therefore praying that I will give up this mentality, that I'm trying to look in the material energy for happiness. And because of that, then I can gain actual happiness by being situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. My devotional service will give actual happiness. But what's getting in the way of that is my attachment to the idea that I can be happy in the material world. So, yes.
And by listening to their prayers, we hope one day we'll also get this understanding?
Yes, because point is when we hear these and we contemplate and think about it, and just remember it's just by thinking about something, you know, interested to do it, Krishna sees that and one gets the benefit.
But then we forget.
Then we do it again and get more benefit. So point is how much we do. So that's why it's recommended that it's constant, because if it's constant, then that always stays. Yes. So by hearing, that's why by association, he gets the chance, right? Okay. The conditioned soul... The conditioned life full of miseries obtained the chance to meet the Lord's devotees. So that's the whole point, is in that, that's where then we meet the devotees here and how they offer prayers, how they think, how they surrender, how they serve, like that. Their mood, and by that we catch something. So in this way, then, by the grace of the Supreme Spiritual Master, we're able to take advantage of the instructions we're getting from the Spiritual Masters. You know, because all these individuals, they're all our Spiritual Master. Because we all get, you know, spiritual instruction from them. We try to apply it. The king continued, "One who wants to be free of material entanglement should take to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give up the contamination of ignorance involving pious and impious activities." Because we're thinking, it's pious, it's devotional. It's impious, then it's, you know, that's nonsense. But the actual thing is, no, it's devotional. And it's not devotional, then it's either pious or impious. Does that make sense? So, of the two, since one has to work with the material energy, the best is to work with the pious. Right? Because that's something that you have, it's nice to offer to the Lord. So we go by the recommendation. So in other words, we take goodness, and because we don't accept the passion and ignorance of goodness, it becomes pure goodness. Right? The Brahmins, they're accepting the mode of goodness, but they're also accepting the passion and ignorance to go along with it. So therefore, they still have that some material tinge. But because they're fixed in service to the scriptures and following everything properly, that pleases the Lord. And so they move forward. And anybody who respects them also benefits. But the idea is that you come from the point of being situated in goodness to pure goodness. But the idea is, since we're not interested in this, we don't just reject the whole thing. Does that make sense? Yes.
It's the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam that we see it, sages, under the mode of goodness, they become great devotees. Then
yes.
Kings, which is, you know, passion,
yes.
They also become, and then even demons, which is ignorance, they also become great devotees.
Yes. And we see it's all by the grace of a devotee. So Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj by Narad Muni, Bali Maharaj by Prahlad Maharaj, you know, so it's always, Dasaratnakar by Narad Muni, Murari Narad Muni, you know, so then that's, you see, so he features a lot in here, because then that's our opportunity, right?
And he's by the grace of Bhaktivedanta.
Yes, like that. And so then it's always. Yes.
Can we say that between devotional activities, pious activities, and impious activities, pious activity happens to be a cutting edge or like tatastha, from where one can progress either.
It's tatastha, but it's on the other side.
Yeah.
It's not like us, we're tatastha on this side.
No, in the sense, at the beginning stage,
because it's either material or spiritual. So if it's engaged in Krishna service, it's spiritual. It's not, it's material. So the piety is material. But you engage in Krishna service, that's where it becomes spiritual. So in that way you can say it's tatastha, but it's not that, it's in the middle between material and spiritual. No, it's material. So, but the point is you want to offer the best to Krishna, so therefore, since you're working with material energy, what's the best of the material energy? The mode of goodness. Right? And so that means it's because it's recommended in scripture. So that's what then is offered. But the real point of the scripture is to serve Krishna. That's the actual point that all the scriptures are making. But someone may follow the scriptures not understanding that, and out of piety they're doing so, they are indirectly serving Krishna by serving his laws. But they don't know that they're serving him as a person. So they may be serving as Brahman, they may be serving as Paramatma, but not as Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So we're just bringing it to that next level. The Vaishnavs, they bring it to the level where it is on the, in with transcendental senses, one is performing transcendental activities to please the transcendental Lord.
I was just trying to draw the line of parallels between, you know, as we say about paravidya and aparavidya, the same way, whether it is bhakti or it is, you know, impure.
Yes, but the point is it's still material.
Yeah,
aparavidya is material knowledge, but it is what is the natural connection to the Lord. It's for connecting to the Lord. While avidya means not connecting to the Lord. So the same knowledge can go both ways. Paravidya is transcendental. And aparavidya is material, but that's the recommended material. And then to use that not for the Lord, that's avidya. And then not to use it at all, that's even more avidya. So you're taking avidya and then using it according to avidya. Does that make sense?
Double
avidya, right? So therefore you end up with, you know, all kinds of strange and wonderful things. Thus one regains... Okay. King continued, one who wants to be free of material entanglement should take to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give up the contamination of ignorance involving pious and impious activities. Thus one regains his original identity. So here the ignorance is not really meaning the mode of ignorance. It means... ignorance means one does not know about the Lord. Because pious, there's no, you know, so much piety in ignorance. You know, piety scans the whole thing. Generally, piety is based on goodness. Then one's mood in applying it may be the other modes. Thus one regains his original identity, means real knowledge, which means about the Lord. Right? Not material knowledge. That won't get you the Lord. That won't get you your original identity. Just as a block of gold or silver sheds all dirt and becomes purified when heated with fire. May that inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead become our spiritual master, for he is the original spiritual master of all other spiritual masters. Neither all the demigods, nor the so-called gurus, nor all other people, either independently or together, can offer mercy that equals even 1/10,000 of yours. Therefore, I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. Right, So anyone else who's not on that the platform of devotional service connected to the Lord, they can't give anywhere near. So it says it cannot, you know, even all together, if you take all that can be offered by anybody in a position of authority or power, the mercy they could give, all of it together wouldn't even equal 1/10,000th. What's it say? 1/10,000th of the mercy of Krishna. So, therefore I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. As a blind man being unable to see accepts another blind man as his leader, people who do not know the goal of life accept someone as guru who is a rascal and a fool. For we are interested in self-realization. Therefore we accept you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as our spiritual master. For you are able to see in all directions and are omniscient like the sun. A materialistic so-called guru instructs his materialistic disciples about economic development and sense gratification. And because of such instructions, the foolish disciples continue in the materialistic existence of ignorance. But your lordship gives knowledge that is eternal, and the intelligent person receiving such knowledge is quickly situated in his original constitutional position. So original constitutional means in service to the Lord. That's so by coming in contact, one very quickly comes to that point of being situated in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada comments. So-called gurus instruct their disciples for the sake of material profit. Some guru advises that one meditate in such a way that his intelligence will increase in regard to keeping his body fit for sense gratification. Another guru advises that sex is the ultimate goal of life, and that one should therefore engage in sex to the best of his ability. These are the instructions of foolish gurus. In other words, because of the instructions of a foolish guru, one remains perpetually in material existence and suffers its tribulations. But if one is intelligent enough to take instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as enunciated in Bhagavad Gita or the Shankya philosophy of Kapiladeva, one can very soon attain liberation and be situated in his original position of spiritual life. The Lord lives in the spiritual world in his original personality, and a devotee who follows the instructions of the Lord approaches him. Approaches him, Mam A.T. As a spiritual person, such a devotee returns to the personality of Godhead and plays and dances with Him. That is the ultimate goal of life. Because so as a spiritual person, not that he's the spirit soul and he's engaged in service, but as a spiritual person, then. Right, the whole conversation, no words to say. He's taking a picture.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna. I said, I don't know. Is anywhere else in the world you can have whole conversation? I think it's only here.
No, only in India.
Yeah.
Yeah, whole conversation. Can sue you for that.
Huh?
You can get in trouble for doing that.
Really?
Privacy. Somebody intrudes into your privacy. And
I see. Means in the West. Okay. Yeah. Here, that's the whole thing.
And why would anybody want to take pictures?
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. No. But I'm saying before that, you didn't see us. Is that we had a whole conversation.
Oh.
Like that, Prabhu could say that. Like that, you know, saying, you know, hey, I'm going now, you know, like that, and says, yes, yes, and, you know, like that, and, you know, it's like, anything else, so I'm like, no, we're good, no, like that. So then I'm going, yes, and like that, oh, can I take a picture? And, you know, so that all happened, that was all.
Yeah, I think it's originated from Mahaprabhu Gundicha Marjana, when they didn't talk anything but Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.
Oh, okay.
They did the whole pastimes, and it is mentioned that the only words they said it was Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
And Narayana Maharaj extends the classes. He says, can I continue? Everyone says Hari Bol. So he says, for everything you say Hari Bol, so what does it mean?
Okay. Yes. Otherwise they could come this side, then they can learn what it means. From the Bengalis. Means you can have more, longer, fuller this kind of discussion with Bengalis. You can do it anywhere, but you seem somehow that it's the longest. Okay, we're up to the top. Okay, so as a spiritual person, then one's able to go. That's the point. So then he can then return to the personality of Godhead, and then plays and dances with Him. So that's it. As a person, you go. So as long as we're, you know, just the devotee, but we haven't developed that whole spiritual personality, then that's not there. But when that develops, then one is qualified to return to that position. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. The king continued, "My Lord, you are the supreme well-wishing friend of everyone. The dearmost friend, the controller, the supersoul, the supreme instructor, and the giver of supreme knowledge, and the fulfillment of all desires. But although you are within the heart, the foolish, because of lusty desires in the heart, cannot understand you." Right? So even that the devotee, then within Lord Chaitanya, within his pastimes, then we're also within the pastimes. It's just a matter of when we understand that point, then we can take part, like it is mentioned here. But otherwise, we're already taking part. But it's just we may not fully appreciate it. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, "The Lord said, why do people not surrender to me if I am the real guru? Satyavrata replied, they do not surrender because they are foolish. You are the friend, whereas no one else is the friend. You are an affectionate master, whereas others are not. Or the word Suhrit can indicate that the Lord is the object of Sakya Bhava. And the word Priya can indicate the Lord is the object of Madhurya Bhava. Ishwar indicates Dasya Bhava. Atma indicates that the Lord is the object of Shanta Bhava. Guru, parent, indicates that the Lord is the object of a particular Dasya Bhava, such as Krishna in relation to his sons in Dwarka. Or by Sandhi, it can be Aguru, indicating someone who is not a parent but a son. Thus, Vatsalya Bhava is indicated. You are also without bhava as Jnanam, the giver of impersonal liberation. You also fulfill the desires of those who have material desires. The foolish people who are improper cannot understand you who are proper and excellent because their hearts are bound by sinful desires. So that means it's whatever is desired, that Krishna will reciprocate. That those relationships are all there. So he gave just in those few that he mentions here, then it indicates all the different rasas and all the different situations. The king continued, O Supreme Lord, for self-realization, I surrender unto you, who are worshipped by the demigods as the supreme controller of everything. Right. So you see, these things, these kind of comments are starting to come out now. That means they're mentioned here and there, but now we see that there's more and more that direction because we're coming up to the 10th canto where it's all going to be about the relationships between the Lord and the devotees. The king continued, no? O Supreme Lord, for self-realization I surrender unto you, who are worshipped by the demigods as the supreme controller of everything. By your instructions, exposing life's purpose, kindly cut the knot from the core of my heart, and let me know the destination of my life. Srila Prabhupada comments, sometimes it is argued that people who do not know who is the spiritual master, and that finding a spiritual master from whom to get enlightenment in regard to the destination of life is very difficult. To answer all these questions, King Satyavrata shows us the way to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the real spiritual master. The Supreme Lord has given full directions in Bhagavad Gita about how to deal with everything in this material world and how to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, one should not be misled by so-called gurus who are rascals and fools. Rather, one should directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the guru or instructor. It is difficult, however, to understand Bhagavad Gita without the help of the guru. Therefore, the guru appears in the parampara system. In Bhagavad Gita 4:34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Lord Krishna directly instructed Arjuna. Arjuna is therefore Tattvadarshi, or guru. Arjuna accepted, so that's the point, is that the instructions are what makes one's Tattvadarshi, one who sees that knowledge. Right? Some will try to interpret it, Tattvadarshi means you have to see the Lord there in prema and in pastimes and you're running around and that's on. But tatva means the knowledge given by Krishna, you can see that. That's tatva darshan. Does that make sense? So, there may be various levels of tatva darshi, but the point is someone who's coming into parampara and who can connect you with that parampara and help one understand that, that's tatva darshi. Right? Does that make sense? Arjuna accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, following the footsteps of Sri Arjuna, who is a personal devotee of the Lord, one should accept the supremacy of Lord Krishna, as supported by Vyas, Devala, Asita, Narada, and later by the Acharyas Ramanuja, Madhva, Nimbarka, and Vishnuswami, and still later by the greatest Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where then is the difficulty in finding a guru? If one is sincere, he can find the guru and learn everything, right? So if you're approaching with this attitude to hear Gita from Krishna through the parampara, through all these great acharyas and everything like that, that's your sincerity, you will be able to find guru. But if not, then it may be difficult. Because the point is Krishna's in the heart, someone has that sincerity, then Krishna will put you in contact with bona fide guru. And if that attitude's not there, then yes, one will not find bona fide guru. If one is sincere, he can find the guru and learn everything. So that's the point, the sincerity. One should take lessons from the guru and find out the goal of life. Maharshi Satyavrata therefore shows us the way of the Mahajana. One should surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dasavatara, and learn from him about the spiritual world and the goal of life. Verses 54 to 61. Machidev instructs Satyavrata about Bhakti Yoga. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Satyavrata had thus prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of a fish, the Lord, while moving in the water of inundation, explained to him the absolute truth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead thus explained to King Satyavrata the spiritual science known as Shankhya Yoga, the science by which one distinguishes between matter and spirit, in other words, Bhakti Yoga, along with the instructions contained in the Puranas, the old histories, and the Samhitas.
Mark, what would be the difference between Samhita and Purana?
Like, how you say? The Samhitas, like Brahma Samhita. That's a Samhita. So it's giving all the knowledge, but it seems to be in a short form. It's not in story form. So same knowledge. It's just like Bhagavatam being a Purana means all those points that Lord Brahma makes in the Brahma Samhita, that will be in story form. Okay, so you'll be able to see all those. The Lord explained himself in all these literatures. While sitting in the boat, King Satyavrata, accompanied by the great saintly persons, listened to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in regard to self-realization. These instructions were all from the eternal Vedic literature, Brahma. So that's also what you can mean by a Brahmavadi, in that, like I was saying before, as Brahmavadi means one who is fixed in the Vedic literature. So they know, they follow it, they practice it. So you can say, in that way you can say they're all Brahmavadis, means they're nicely established as Brahmins who follow the Vedic literature and practice it. Sense. Or it can mean that's their realization that they're only interested in the level of Brahman. Right? Thus the king and sages had no doubt about the absolute truth. At the end of the last inundation, during the period of Swayambhuva Manu, the Supreme Personality of God had killed a demon named Hayagriva and delivered all the Vedic literatures to Lord Brahma. When Lord Brahma awakened from sleeping, King Satyavrata was illuminated with all Vedic knowledge by the mercy of Lord Vishnu, and in this period he has now taken birth as Vaivasvatamanu, the son of the sun god. This story concerning the great King Satyavrata and the fish incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is a great transcendental narration. Anyone who hears it is delivered from the reactions of sinful life. One who narrates this description of the Machi incarnation and King Satyavrata will certainly have all his ambitions fulfilled, and he will undoubtedly return home back to Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who pretended to be a gigantic fish, who restored the Vedic literature to Lord Brahma when Lord Brahma awakened from sleep, and who explained the essence of Vedic literature to King Satyavrata and the great saintly persons. Like, remember, he combined the two stories. Like that was the whole. Srila Prabhupada's concluding comment to verse 61.
He combined because Matsya was in both?
Yes. So it's just in here because he was bringing out, I guess, the point of the instructions and saving the Veda and all that. So then he brought in that point from before. But otherwise, as mentioned, it appears that between every Manu, there's some devastation and Matsya comes. But it appears that this time he then discussed the philosophy. So maybe in others they don't, or it's the same thing, so you only need to say it once. Srila Prabhupada's concluding comments to verse 61. Here is a summary of Satyavrata's meeting with the fish incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu's purpose was to take back all the Vedic literatures from the demon Hayagriva and restore them to Lord Brahma. Incidentally, by his causeless mercy, the Lord spoke with Satyavrata. The Lord Satyavratanam is significant because it indicates that those on the level of Satyavrata can take knowledge from the Vedas delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever is spoken by the Supreme Lord is accepted as Veda, right? So that's why we follow Veda. We can't say, it's in the Veda, that's archaic, that's old, that's this and that. It's spoken by the Lord. The Lord's eternal, therefore that knowledge is eternal. So you never have the problem that what Krishna says becomes out of date. Right? Also, is the point, he's giving the knowledge to Brahma, but it's after he wakes up. Right? And so during this time, he's sleeping. So he happens to be saying this knowledge to, incidentally, right? Then by his causes, he spoke with Satyavata. So that's why then the two can be connected. Because he saved it, now he's going to give it to Brahma, but incidentally in between, then this whole pastime with Satyavata is happening. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Krit Veda Vit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the compiler of all Vedic knowledge, and he knows the purport of the Vedas. Therefore, anyone who takes knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or from whom Bhagavad Gita as it is, knows the purpose of the Vedas. Vedaish cha sarver aham eva vedyaha. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. One cannot understand Vedic knowledge from the Vedavada ratas, who read the Vedas and misconstrue their subject matter. One has to know the Vedas from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the point. So the Vedavada ratas, they can only know when you hear it from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Right? When they hear it from the Lord himself, from the Parampara, that's when they can understand. Otherwise, they'll study and they'll never understand. Conclusion. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the Supreme Spiritual Master, Pratigya. Because the Supreme Lord knows everything about the suffering of the conditioned soul, and therefore he appears in this material world, sometimes personally, sometimes by an incarnation, and sometimes by authorizing a living entity to act on his behalf. In all cases, however, he is the original spiritual master who enlightens the conditioned souls who are suffering in the material world. Hetu. Lord Krishna directly instructed Arjuna, Buddhaharana. But people do not know who is the spiritual master, and that finding a spiritual master from whom to get enlightenment in regard to the destination of life is very difficult. Samshaya. So-called gurus instruct their disciples for the sake of material profit. Because of the instructions of a foolish guru, one remains perpetually in material existence and suffers its tribulations. King Satyavrata shows us the way to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the real spiritual master. The Supreme Lord has given full directions in Bhagavad Gita about how to deal with everything in this material world and how to return home back to Godhead. It is difficult, however, to understand Bhagavad Gita without the help of the guru. Therefore, the guru appears in the Parampara system. One is sincere, he can find the guru and learn everything. Upanaya. Right? So, the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Spiritual Master. Therefore, he always comes himself or someone to there. But some may say, an example is he instructed Arjuna. Someone could say, no, but it's very difficult to find. But that's only if one is sincere to know Krishna through the Parampara, then one can find. But if one's not, one wants to do it on his own, then like the Vedavada ratas, then even though you may seemingly approach the Lord, you won't know.
So the desire is very important. So if
yes, desire is very important.
If the desire is very sincere, then definitely Krishna will provide something.
Yes.
So yesterday, I think so, we saw the Tuesday class, identification, attitude, desire, and the goal.
Yes.
So there we found that identification was the first point. But here in this particular case, you see that...
No, attitude is the first point. It means we're going through it logically. Then we'll say identity is the first point. Then the attitude within that identity. Then the application of that, the knowledge and skills. Then will be the result, you'll get the goal. Right? So, but the point is the whole process starts from attitude. Because if you don't have the right attitude, you can't approach. That's the problem with the Vedavada ratas. Their mental speculation, they don't want the actual conclusion. Because we see here, okay, we're studying this whole thing. What's at the end?
Conclusion.
The conclusion. So then what does that mean? What are you supposed to do? After Shravana, what's next? Yes. Do they want to apply? No. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. The professor knows all these things. Is he good at it? Is he applying it? No, that's not his business. Right? He's a professor in business management. Right? How much does he make a month? Yes. Now... But a businessman who is doing business management, how much does he get a month? Yeah, so the point is he doesn't want to apply it. He just wants to think about it, talk about it, speculate on it, get everybody involved in it. That's their business. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. So it's only if they're sincere, then they can do it. It is therefore said, Acharyam mam vijani yat, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.27. An acharya who acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be understood to be as good as the Supreme Lord himself, Nigamana. So, therefore, the Supreme Lord is actually the Supreme Spiritual Master. That means all other spiritual masters are representing him. But that means it's because his parampara is as good as. Because the knowledge is what we're trying to gain. That's the point that's as good as. So we deal, therefore, on that kind of way. Yes?
Maybe strange question, but how this all related to Matsya and Satyavrata?
Because we see here is that Satyavrata is accepting the Lord as the Supreme Spiritual Master.
He didn't have his own?
But he said a Supreme Spiritual Master. Doesn't mean he didn't have like that. But he's the supreme, so from here, he's the source of all the knowledge that all of the spiritual masters are giving. Right? Because you see, and why did he meditate on the Lord? The sages in the boat told him. So in that way, they're his seniors, they're his spiritual master. But he's accepting, he's the supreme spiritual master.
What else can you do?
Yes, like that, you know, it's a standard thing to talk to 1 million mile long fish, right? And after meditating on it. But the fish has to be gold. Okay. Huh, how did that get over there? Yeah, it seemed to fall off. Okay. So, the end of eighth canto. Now we're on the ninth. So ninth canto, liberation, right? Because the whole idea, we should come to that platform before getting into tenth canto. So, table of contents. Chapter 1, King Sudyumna becomes a woman. Chapter 2, the dynasties of the sons of Manu. Chapter 3, the marriage of Shukanya and Chyavana Muni. Chapter 4, Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni. Chapter 5, Durvasa Muni's life spared. Chapter 6, the downfall of Sobari Muni. Chapter 7, okay. Chapter 7, the descendants of King Mandata. Chapter 8, the sons of Sagara meet Lord Kapiladev. Chapter 9, the dynasty of Amshuman. Chapter 10, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Chapter 11, Lord Ramachandra rules the world. Chapter 12, the dynasty of Kusha, the son of Lord Ramachandra. Chapter 13, the dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. Okay, chapter 1. King Sudyumna becomes a woman. Pratigya, the body is just like a dress. So that's the whole point to gain, is that body is like a dress, so it can change. It's not actually the soul.
Nothing
okay.
to do with him becoming a woman?
It's
all about the dress?
Yes, it's all about the dress. Come on. That's why I become a woman, if it's not about the dress. So. Okay. This is because Sudyumna and his associates were all male, which means that their souls were covered by male dress. But now they became female, which means that their dress has changed. It is said that by modern medical treatment, a male can be transformed into a female, and a female into a male. The soul, however, remains the same. The body has no connection with the soul. Therefore, one who has knowledge of the soul and how the soul transmigrates from one body to another does not pay attention to the body, which is nothing but a covering dress. Such a person sees the soul, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Right? So we're trying to get that point. We see like that. The dress is there, so therefore a particular dress is used in a particular way. right? You know, the ball gown you don't, you know, wear down to the construction site, and the overalls you don't wear to the ball, right? So that's the point is there, but it's not about the dress, right? It's nothing but the covering of dress. So therefore, the soul is seen. So it's the soul who's going to do the activities. That's the whole point. Right? Chapter 1 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Parikit asked Sukadev Goswami question 9.1 and question 9.2 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 9.1. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.1.4. Describe to us separately the dynasties and characteristics of all the celebrated kings, for we are always eager to hear such topics from you. Right, so now we get down to kings, right? We've been discussing Manus so far. So now we've come up to our Manu. Like that, because after that it hasn't happened yet, so we can only discuss up to here. Right? And so then now is the, how do you say? The
kings.
Yes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives a reply to question 1-9 throughout the rest of Canto 9. Question 9-2, 9-128. Why was this place so empowered and who made it so powerful? I don't know, it doesn't say what place. Sukadev Goswami gives a reply to question 9-2 in the rest of chapter 1. So we will find out. So it must be this place that can make Sudyumna into a woman. Right? So that's all. Everyone goes for all the operation. They just have to go to this place.
Yeah, that's temporary. You stay there, you become a woman. You get out, that's it.
Then you're not a woman.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
It's had to be temporary.
Yeah. Adhyaya Prakashika. I think those who go in there are just turned into women and they stay there. Adhyaya Prakashika by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. Okay, well, this is actually for the whole canto, like that. It's not just the Adhyaya. In the ninth canto, topics related to the followers of the Lord, Ishanu Kata, are told with the intention of propagating bhakti, vijnana, and vairagya. This is demonstrated through the splendid devotees such as Ambarish. Vairagya is demonstrated by persons like Yayati, even though they were engaged in material pleasures. With this aim in mind, this topic also includes the descriptions for the members of the dynasties of the sun and moon, whose very names are purifying, and who also taught by their personal example. Because Yayati engaged in material pleasures, but from that he understood that there is no satisfaction in material pleasures. You can't become satisfied. So he was satisfied that with that understanding that you can't be satisfied, so he can move on. So that's why it's counted in Vairagya. And then the kings will get lots of lists of kings, but just by hearing the names, it is purifying, because they're all connected to all these. In the ninth canto, 13 chapters describe the sun dynasty, and 11 chapters describe the moon dynasty. So then this 13 is, this is all the sun, what we've just gone through now. Thus there are 24 chapters in the ninth canto, endowed with various astonishing subjects and concluding with topics of Krishna. Because that will be the very end, because it's moon dynasty, that will bring us down to Krishna. Then that will start the 10th canto. Okay. So then we shall enter. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Charanitai Gaurupinoda ki.